So for this morning, we're going to have two pieces of scripture. Who thought? We're going to have an Old Testament reading, which clearly shares God's vision for what he intended and what will come again at one time. And then we're going to hear from the Gospel of Matthew. And so I've searched high and low, and we found a very special reader for us this morning.
The reading from the prophet this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the New International Version. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And from the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we hear the call from what I like to conveniently call the biblical front man, the advance operator, John, speaking from the wilderness. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt tied around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Produced fruit in keeping with repentance. And do you not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father'? I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more worthy and more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The word of God. Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, as we've gathered here this day, may our hearts truly be open for what you have for us. Whether we think we know it and understand it clearly, or whether we're still struggling, you who are the author and perfecter of life, O God, come and speak to us through your word, that your holy name be lifted up and we be drawn closer. In Christ we pray, amen. Well, it might not be the biggest word you were thinking of when you were coming in for Advent second week. We get easily moved off into things like, you know, hope and peace. And peace is a really good thing. I don't mean to undermine that. In fact, if we were going to run around and have everybody write down what they think peace is, that would be a good collection of pieces of paper we could read at some other time. Maybe we'll do that. We're not going to do it right now, but maybe we'll do that. I wanted to move along a trail that Advent is a time of waiting, a time of anticipation, a time of expectation, a time when we can move slower so that we can see and hear more, a time when we can consider repentance. And I can hear, well, Pastor, that's for Lent. That's something we only do, you know, once a year and right around Easter time. But I'm suggesting that there is a connection between Advent and repentance in the waiting and in the understanding about what repentance is. Now, some of you may have a pretty good understanding of repentance. I'm suggesting that there's a connection between Advent and repentance and the peace which God has come in Jesus to share with us. The peace that Bonnie was so nice to be able to read about. The peace that God intended, you know, way back at the beginning, before humankind decided to go their own path, where there was unity, where there was calm, where there was wholeness in the way that the Creator intended. Now, for those of us who've learned it the word before, repentance means to turn around, to change your path from where you're going, to change your course. You know, for many of us, whether it's Lenten time or other times during the year, we get this notion of, well, whatever it is that's not good, I'm going to stop doing it and not do it anymore. That's often what we understand as repentance. And that's an okay version. I'm going to challenge us to perhaps see it a little differently and a little bit deeper this morning. Because most of us, it calls into question our current behavior. With less emphasis on what is wrong with our current behavior, but it really should be directed towards the better behavior, the correct behavior, the right behavior that we should be doing rather than what we are doing. It's not just change for change's sake. I'm tired of doing what I've always been doing, so I'm going to do something different. That's not repentance at all. But repentance is because one recognizes that one's steps are out of sync with the steps that were ordered by God in God's word. You know, we go back and we read that Isaiah piece, or you hear it, and I've often, maybe you have too, I've chuckled, you know, the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. Yeah, that's going to take God to do that. That the serpents are going to lie down with our children and they're going to play together. I'm going, that's going to take God to do that too. God's vision is so much bigger than ours. And we get caught up in worldly things in such a way that perhaps we're not even recognizing that our hearts are not in the place where we could receive Christ anew in a way that God intends us to receive, because some of us have been, this is not our first Christmas. It's not the first time when we're celebrating the arrival of Jesus. And we say, well, you know, he arrived a long time ago. But don't you think God has more in store for each of our hearts than just celebrating the same as we did last year and the year before that and the year before that? And even 10 years ago when we had that really good Christmas, don't you think that God's vision for us is to have a new moment? That Christmas 2019, if it comes, if he's not here, the second coming, is meant to be something even more special. Something deeper, something that offers us an opportunity to turn from where we've been living and to draw closer to that line, that perfect line of love that helps us reflect who we follow. Jesus knew what that line looked like. He lived a perfect life of love. You heard, as Bonnie was sharing, he came in righteousness. He didn't come to judge. He saw all this before him, and he still showed love. He shared love. He lived love. He was not so tempted by the world around him that he strayed from where God had intended him to walk. It's essentially repentance, is realizing that God is pointing you one way and that you've been traveling another. And so now it's time to change course. Now, some of you here may have already had this happen in your life. You get to a place where says, well, it seems like I need to go this other direction, but it seems so much of a step where I don't have all of the pieces in front of me. I'm stepping in faith. You might know what that's like. The nearest thing I could come up with is, remember the old antennas that we used to have way back in the day when television was first new and Edison was still on the planet, and we had those little rotators. You turn a little dial, and then outside you hear the antenna go, because they'd have to get channel 3 out of Utica or something. Or when we realize that God has a path for us that's different than where we're currently walking, and we have an opportunity. See, God never forces. We have an opportunity in recognizing that by God's grace to turn from where we are and turn towards where God would have us be. That's the repentance that I'm talking about. That's the opportunity. I'm not suggesting that we go off the edge, but there is much that we could repent of if we started thinking, I believe. Not just individual, I could repent of this, we could repent of this, this community could repent of this, but you know, I start thinking, I could repent poverty, food scarcity, racial injustice, lack of clean water, overflowing prisons, the divorce rate, broken relationships, children with only one parent, living below the poverty level, crime, violence. You know, we could. There's a lot of things we could repent of. We'd be here all day. Anything that upsets the peace that God intended, that God created before we decided to do our own thing and go our own way and interpret what God has given us in a way that was different from what God intended. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to think that I don't have it all together. And in the course of going through all the things that have to be done this week, this next 2 weeks, I'm looking at 2 weeks. Do you realize it's that close to Christmas? We're like, some of you already, they're going, I know, my list is just, it's crazy. I got all these things to do. Maybe the opportunity for us is to see God never intended us to be so busy with all these things that we don't have time to be ready for him in his coming. Now, we know what happened back in that day. There was no peace. Oh, sure, there was a cessation of fighting, but basically Rome had in a slugfest, had pounded everybody else into quiet. So the fact that there was no fighting didn't mean that there actually was peace. It was just everybody was still numb from the beating they'd taken from Rome. There was no peace in the country because the entire country was upset. They're all moving. In its big, hammered, fisted way, they had caused everyone to go back to their own town to be registered. You're all thinking, well, I could have just done that by tweet or I'd emailed. It would have been easy. No. That was a way to keep you under the thumb of the government, to keep the chaos going. You couldn't gather in groups because everybody was going to a different place. There was no longer any way to have any voice against some of the injustice because you were in chaos trying to stay out of the way of the oppression. There was no peace. And when they got to Bethlehem, there was no peace there either. There was no place to rest. There was no... Oh my goodness, you think of what Mary and Joseph went through. There was no peace anywhere. And yet, in the midst of it, there was God's peace. They were able to travel through that. They were able to get through that experience. They were able to do what God had before them in order that Jesus could be born to us. Now, I know it's a different time. It's a different world. But I think in too many ways, we can find ourselves so turned and moved around by the chaos around us that we forget what a holy and blessed time this is. This is a time when we can look forward to, he's coming. He's coming. Now, if I said just for a moment, one of your best friends, somebody you haven't seen in a long time, someone has promised they would have been coming and just hadn't showed up at your house in a long time, and they're going to be there in 10 minutes, whose house is ready to receive that visitor? Okay, we got a couple. All right. Bold. But the truth is, most of us wouldn't be ready. Most of us wouldn't be ready. Even for a dear friend, is the house of our heart ready for the Savior, for his coming? Are we doing the things, are we living the way he called us to live so that we could receive the fullness of him and not just say, yep, it's the baby Jesus, he's in the manger, it's Christmas, okay, what's next? I pray we're able to grasp the hope from last week and to aspire to the peace that allows us to travel, even if we have to travel through the chaos of registration in our hometowns, finding no room at the inn, and ending up having to sleep on a straw someplace in an outbuilding. Then in the midst of all that, there's the peace because God is with us. We've already received a Savior. How will we receive Him? How will we receive Him this year? So I've got some things for you to do. Number one, I want you to just daydream for a minute. You ready? I'm giving you permission to daydream. All of you, calling you back. Hello. I want you to daydream about what God's vision for you might be. I'm only going to give you just a few seconds. Just think about what God's vision for you might be. Beyond something that you presently can see. I'm talking about a big vision. A big vision. God is big.
Okay?
I'm not just a goal. I don't want just something that you can achieve. I want something that's a dream, something that you could set your travel, your journey towards. It's not going to be have something that can happen tomorrow or the next day. Something really big. Okay, you got that? Now, that's one thing. Second thing I want you to concentrate on, I want you to think of one element in your life of which you'd like to repent. Now, this is going to be a real personal thing. You didn't think you were going to have homework, but there's homework. Something in which in your life in which you'd like to repent. And then name it and take this Advent season. You've already got 2 weeks down. Take this Advent season to do it. It might be a relationship. Might be a broken relationship. Something that has fallen down in the past, either through neglect, through your actions or the actions of others. Maybe it's using your time more wisely. Maybe it's using your time differently. Maybe it's using your time or your gifts toward better goals, toward a better life. Maybe it's a practice you'd like to take up. Maybe you want to spend more time in Scripture, more time in prayer, more time in fellowship, sharing your faith. Something to help you produce a more abundant life and for abundant life in those around you. Find that thing, name it, and then work towards it this Advent. Time is ticking away. And then I want you to think of, so that's the big dream. That's one thing in your life. I want you to think of one thing in our communal life. This is our life as the body of Christ here assembled. Something needing repentance. This is not judgment. This is just perceiving by God's grace something that needs repentance in our communal life and how you might contribute to that repentance. Volunteering, maybe. Maybe additional donations. Something we can have as a community issue, and then pray about that daily, that God might be able to direct your time and your talents into contributing that might be repented, and therefore remove that obstacle from God doing a new thing this Christmas. So we have one personal thing, we have a communal thing, acts of repentance, realizing that we are not, even on our best days, on our very best, and the best day, the best of all days, we're not on the path God would have us be. There's more. There's more involved. And there's more openness to be able to move when the Spirit moves rather than God having to choose a 2x4 or a 4x4. I still got some bruises from the 8x8 he had to use on my head sometimes. God's preferred way is to have the Spirit move and us understand and advance in faith. Saying, that's the God of creation. That's the God who calls us to life. That's the God of peace who holds my heart, even in the midst of the chaos around me, and lets me move in selfless ways, in loving ways, His glory to show. Maybe that's the way we're prepared for the Lord this year. A way to give up something that's been holding us back from sharing that wonderful joy. You know, we're going to sing it very shortly. Not today, but very shortly. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Wouldn't it be great if this year there was an extra twinkle in your heart, an extra twinkle in your eye saying, I couldn't believe it. I've been celebrating Christmas for all these years, all these decades. And I began to think about what I could give up that would draw me closer to the Lord. And God filled that space, moved the obstacle and filled that space just by my saying, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm not living as holy as I might. Maybe there's some things in my behavior. Maybe there's things in my speech. Maybe there's things in my attitudes that need to be changed. God will use that. And I can repent of those. Lord, help us repent that we might receive you new, fresh, with the joy and wonder of these little ones who say, Christmas, Christmas. Jesus has come. He's coming. Are we ready? Let us pray. It is a difficult thing, Lord, to consider that in the midst of all our preparations that perhaps we've forgotten something so important, so critical, so central to our life in you as something like repentance. So, Lord, I guess I begin my prayer with myself for those areas in which I've been neglectful or even prideful, thinking that I've got it all together. Because I believe your desire for us is to have a Christmas of a lifetime this year, something that extends far beyond the tinsel and the glitter and all of the trappings, something that's much deeper, much more soul-touching. And so on behalf of my brothers and sisters here assembled, this community of faith, this community and the surrounding region, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to find those items in our life, one in our own life, one in the community life, and to be able to dream big, big for what you would have us become. It's not who we are, God. You are a God, not just of static creation, but of dynamic, living, and recreating. Breathe into us by your Spirit. Draw us close. Hear our petitions. And change us, Lord. Help us to move from where we are toward where you would have us be for your glory, that this Christmas might shine not just in the lights of our house, not just in the candles here in the sanctuary, but in our very hearts and in our eyes and in our faces as we glow with your holy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.